Stay tuned for your 3CR podcast, featuring interviews from Bundles Fire Radio Show. 3CR is an independent community radio station in Fitzroy, Victoria, on the unceded lands of the Kulin Nation. For more information, go to www.3cr.org.au. Hey. Every Wednesday at 11 a.m, join me, Bungellini, at the fire
on Community Radio 3CR. Three hours of historically informed, critical analysis of Aboriginal affairs and the ongoing political movement for land rights, treaty, sovereignty and the cessation of genocide. Featuring the best of black music. Bundles Fire, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Wednesday on Community Radio 3CR. Who's gonna lead us? Who's gonna follow? Show me the way,
show me the way, show me the way. At the fire. With Bundellini, Dharmad and Aku, and we're talking about the demolition, the attended demolition of the 44 towers. So I'm gonna cross straight over to you, Aku. Give us the latest update. And what's happening?
I guess within like the last week. So I think a poster went up at 33 Alfred Street in North Melbourne. And that's one of the first ones that they want to demolish within Tranche 1. A poster went up, and it only went up there, not across the other two buildings that they also want to demolish in that first tranche. And it's very interesting because this month, September, which has just started, this is the month that they said that they want to have everybody out of the buildings by. So that's what's printed in brochures and letters that have been distributed. But we've been carefully watching and working out if that is in fact a hard deadline, because we know that in 33 Alfred at least the occupancy rate is probably still around 40%, which I think for like one thing that we can read into with that stat is that they just do not have enough homes to move people into. A lot of people that we've spoken to who are still in that building, the offers that they're being given are completely inadequate. They do not meet the needs of these families. And it really makes us question, what are they doing? Like, why proceed with this plan if you do not have homes to move people into? But more than that, like, why produce this content that says that this whole policy, this project, is something that's good for residents? These are blatant lies. And so, yeah, the poster that went up at 33 Alfred says now that demolition won't start until the start of 2026. It doesn't say anything about a deadline of when to get residents out by. And yet again, residents just left in the dark. We have no idea what's going to happen between now and December. But the interesting thing is that this poster is only gone up at North Melbourne. It hasn't gone up at the other two buildings in Flemington. So those communities are completely left in the dark as well. We don't know what that means for the other buildings. We also don't know what that means for Richmond and South Yarra as well. So more of not knowing much more, Uncle.
It seems very messy, the whole thing from the get-go. And
yeah.
I suppose it's got something to do with being not very transparent and, you know, very clear about what it's all about.
Yeah. You know, like we were reading yesterday the statement from the Premier in response to her press conference being gatecrashed by Thomas Sewer. Is that right, Uncle Sewer?
Yeah.
That's what you call him? Yeah. And like she talks about coming out in public, defending everybody, fighting in public with us so that we're not afraid of fascists, and making sure that she fights for our right to belong. And when I say our, she refers specifically to multicultural people, LGBTIQA+ people, First Peoples and Jews. This is what's in her statement.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Uncle? Do you feel like she fights for your right to belong?
No. And I don't think the state government ever has.
Mm.
Yeah, never supported our people in particular. Mm. I think they're a falsehood, this country, all of it. And don't ever trust what they say. I wouldn't be surprised if she's behind some of this, what's going on, you know, the fascists.
I think Uncle Lionel raised a really interesting point about, like, being custodians of this land and what that actually means in a really real way for First Peoples, and this idea that, like, questioning why are First Peoples paying rent at all? And it's one that I honestly hadn't actually thought about, but hey, that is something we should really interrogate. Do you have thoughts on that, Uncle?
No, that's right. I had this thing, I ran a thing called the pay the rent concept, and you know, why are, this is our land. We're the landlords. Mm. There's no recognition of our rights in this country.
Mm.
And they come here saying that we, you know, we weren't really human to begin with, and more like vermin. They shot us out, tried to, the genocide was intentional. You know, we got no rights here. You know, they're all foreigners, all on the back of here, white man's law. Everybody, right? It didn't come through our customs. Mm. So, you know, I try not to pay rent. The best place to pay rent is those commission houses, because it's very cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you know, I didn't have, you know, I've been on the dole most of my life. I'm not working for these people. They're racist pigs, and they always have been, you know. They're disgusting, and it's look where it is now.
Yeah.
How it's manifested to what it is today. Australia's a disgrace to all humanity, as far as I'm concerned. So I try to avoid paying rent, and I'm telling everyone else that they should be paying rent to our people. You know, why are we in the condition we are? Why are we the most jailed people on earth? Why are they taking our children? Why are they killing us in their jails, you know?
Yeah.
And they can go get, you know what. So, yeah, it's a good point. We want restoration of what our land was before the colonisers came here. We want to restore it or restitute us, right? And if you want to stay here, you should justify your occupation by paying the rent to the original people, the land, the proper landlord, and that way we can look after our land and accommodate you. No, you know, it's just a disgrace, all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to, you know. There's no chance of us getting any justice in their racist courts here. You know, it's just tearing this country apart. Like, you know, we don't exist, and it's just somewhere to rape, pillage, and plunder. What do you think about that, Diamond? You've been keeping a close look over what's going on with these 44 towers and the destruction and how they operate in the state here. How sly and conniving they are.
Well, they're going to stick a crane up over the weekend on the Elgin Towers, which is the start of them demolishing those towers. Now, at the same time as that's going on, they've got an upper house inquiry into why are they going to demolish these towers, which is called the Legal and Social Issues Committee, which is part of the Upper House Legislative Council. Now, there's a thing called the Cabinet Submission Documents, which I brought up beforehand, and five members of the committee, when they were talking to Harriet Shing, who's the Minister for Housing, and also that gang of cretins from Homes Victoria, which hide in the Department of Families, Fairness and Housing and are a puppet to the Property Council of Australia, were asked, where are the Cabinet submission documents, by Mr. Joe McCracken, who's a Liberal and is the chair of the committee, Ms. Anna Zina Gray-Barberio, a Greens member, Dr. Renee Heath, Mrs. Anne Marie Hermans and Mr. Arvi Puglieli. And Harriet Shing went and hid behind the fact that the documents are immune and are cabinet privileged, and the Attorney General has said that nobody can see these documents that made the cabinet the decision to pull down the towers. Now, if you start to then think about all of that, you realise we live in a colony called Australia, and our laws are all about exploiting the village and the community. which we've just been discussing. And all of this about pulling down these towers, which is a massive public asset where probably 20 to 30,000 people live, is all about cannibalism, economic cannibalism now, of our community. Now, the same thing is going on with the Queen Victoria Market, for God's sake. They're going to steal the car park of the Queen Victoria Market. They're going to put up a great big block of flats there, turn the car park into a park over the graves of two Aboriginal people. I don't have their names. Robbie probably knows them.
Tanaminawait, Morboy, you know. I think there's more than just one or two graves. It was a grave site. There was a cemetery there.
Going to get into desecration there, and they're going to strangle the lives and businesses of at least 300 to 400 small businesses that operate in the Victoria Market. So, again, another case of economic cannibalism.
Exactly.
And this is what we're living in at the moment. It's disgraceful.
How do we stop it? How do we stop? What do we do about it?
Well, we have to come together. We have to form collective groups. We have to make people aware of the fact that we've got criminals running this nation, not people who are supposedly elected democratic representatives. They're in there for their own self-interest.
Exactly.
And we have to chuck them out. And then we have to form our laws based on the fact that they are to look after our families and our communities, and we need a proper treaty, we don't have.
And basic fundamental human rights laws that apply to everybody. So if your human rights are affected, you can do something, actually use a law to protect yourself. That doesn't happen in Australia. So, where's our human rights laws in this country? That's what can draw us all together. Get rid of these criminals.
Well, we haven't got any. I mean, you have an upper house inquiry into why are we demolishing this enormous public asset and displacing 20,000 human beings, and we're after the key documents as to show us the reasons, and the committee can't get the documents. And when they ask the minister in charge, she goes and hides behind a stupid piece of legal
Public immunity. Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a curtain. Yeah, and a mask. That's right.
I feel like for me as well, I feel like a really important, you asked the question, Uncle, what can we do about all of this? I've been really heartened and inspired hearing about stories that you've been telling me about education. Yeah, and the role that education plays in all of this. And I think you've mentioned that you've even been out to Richmond West Primary School a few times, and that's the primary school that's on the flats on the Richmond Estate. Just talking to young people and telling them about the truth and not filtering it, but not doing it to make them feel bad, but really just so that they can understand where they are and the context of everything that's playing out around them, the history of that. You've mentioned this many times, but this policy of demolishing all public housing, essentially, like that's where we're going, that's very much a continuation of forced displacement policies that that First Peoples have experienced since the beginning.
It's truth and education are the really powerful weapons or things that need to be a part of your community. If you want a strong, healthy society, you need to have those things a part of it. So education's severely lacking when it comes to Aboriginal people. And then the perpetuating lies and truth. And it also goes for the manifestation of these neo-Nazis and racism in this country, because they're not dealing with the truth or not getting educated. If they only knew they had a decent education, that'd all disappear not even a generation, it'd disappear really quickly.
Yeah. I was just going to add, before the show, Dermot, and I were chatting just in the courtyard, and Dermot told me that he also went to uni high in the 60s. So we're alumni. But not that we want to talk about fascists or Nazis anymore, but on the subject of education and uni high and fascism, we've found a link here. Jacob Herson, who was, I don't know what his role was in the NSN, which is a group responsible for the siege on and the attack, the racist terrorist attack on Camp Sovereignty on Sunday. He went to uni high. He graduated, I think, 2009. No, this is not a blight on uni high. I'm not saying that, but it's in. Let's take it back to education. At uni high, in my day, I feel like we learned very, very little about what happened in this country. I'm going to assume that it was the same. Uni high was the same, if not perhaps even worse, in your day. Is that right, Diamond? In terms of like education around the history of.
Well, I don't know. I came here when I was 12 years old, so I didn't learn much about Australian history. I did study Latin, and I threw my Latin book around my bedroom. There's teeth marks in it. And then I reverted to physics, maths and chemistry, basically, as a shelter from all of this, but didn't learn a lot about Australian history at all. And found it very strange growing up in Melbourne as somebody who'd come from Africa. I was saved by university high school, though. I didn't end up going to one of those other places, which would have been the end of the world in those eastern suburbs sort of schools.
I think... Yes. Uni High, yeah, Uni High was a really, it's a really interesting school, and with the zoning as well, it means a lot of kids from the flats, that's how I end up there, go to Uni High, and you get exposed to so much going to an inner city public school, so much that you probably wouldn't be exposed to, especially if you're from refugee background as well, and I think that's like one of the scariest things about the demolition of public housing in the inner city is that refugees and future generations of refugees who come here will not have access to these schools, these really, really valuable schools in the inner city, like Princess Hill that you went to, Uncle, and Uni High.
That's right. That seems to be disappearing, these schools. My education was the same. I didn't get taught nothing about the history of this country. We're just lucky that we had our elders and around us and how long... tell us something different and like we knew and like we could feel something was wrong. I always felt something was wrong about this country. Sense it, you know, there's growing up as a kid, you know, said, what's the problem here? You know, like look at the way they're acting towards our people and, you know, why are we so oppressed and in jail and, you know, so just dig a little bit deeper and you'll understand and realise what the go is. You know, Australia's a very... wealthy country. It's a beautiful country. It's very wealthy in terms of its mineral wealth, its resources. It's super wealthy. So, you know, this is the jewel in the crown in terms of the British Empire, and they're fighting tooth and nail to hang on to it.
It survives off exploiting its mineral resources and its land resources in terms of farming. But it doesn't develop those resources into value adding, so it's decimated its manufacturing sector.
Yeah.
It looks a bit like India in the 1700s, where the British came in and destroyed all of the artisans in India. Well, we've just been through that in the last 30 years. We've seen our car industries disappear, our textile industries disappear. Any hope of sort of, I don't know, creating something
sustainable
for our people, and now we're living off mining, some farming, and banking speculation, which goes back to this property development thing in terms of stealing the public housing asset, which is a form of cannibalism.
Yeah, that's right. And they'll do that right to the end too.
Correct.
That's how they operate. That's what capitalism is, and they'll just trash everybody's rights in the process.
They'll eat their own children in the end. These people.
They will. They'll sell their grandmother's house. Everything, like everyone's vulnerable because Yeah, and that's the sort of society we are, and it's based on lies,
yeah.
Murder, theft, all those things. So that, you know, get ready for it, people. If you don't stand up and fight for your rights, you're going to look. It's going to continue to do this, and they don't know nothing else. It's, it was established as a convict penal colony, remember, and that's one of their biggest industries is incarceration of people.
I think this is one of the reasons why it's so important that camp sovereignty exists. Like, I don't know if people really, or like, it should be more well known that camp sovereignty exists for collective healing in response to racism, fascism, and white supremacy. Like, the broader collective healing, and it's so exciting. Like, do you want to tell us a bit about what's happening on Saturday, Unc?
Yeah, maybe you. Because my eyes are not too good. that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, cool.
Give that a. Can you see that?
Yeah, yeah. So it's called Sovereign Day Out, and it's a celebration of camp sovereignty. So it'll start at 12 p.m. and it'll go until 10:30 p.m. this Saturday. And I'm just going to zoom in because my eyes are also apparently not very good. So what the event is a snap action in response to the attack on camp sovereignty by neo-Nazi group, a day of celebration of multicultural so-called Australia and a stand against fascism. The day will comprise of live music, workshops, stalls, food, speakers and dance performances. So we've got the Terrys, Soju Gang's going to DJ, Miss Kanine is going to be there too, Becca Hatch, Kian, Birds, Moju and Dallas Woods and a whole lot more. And there'll be speakers as well. And apparently you're speaking, Uncle.
Apparently. To be I've found out today that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I think the quote at the bottom is an important one for us all to remember, but an attack on one of us is attack on all of us.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
Exactly. That's beautiful. And so that's what was the time it started at?
10, I think.
10:30?
Yeah, 10:30. Yeah. Or 11 till 10, all day.
All day.
until 10:30 p.m.
Yeah. So come along and learn a little bit about, like you're saying, about what camp sovereignty really represents. Is also, we've just had a booklet printed about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you can get an idea. And it is about peace, healing, and you know, a space where we can do all that, just express ourselves. But it's open to everybody. All people, and you're welcome to come and learn about, you know, the true history of this country, the importance of that site even. Not many people in Melbourne would know the importance of that site. You know, before it was the Botanical Garden, it was an Aboriginal reserve, you know, and I think it was the first Aboriginal reserve in the state of Victoria, and then prior to that was a corroboree ground where it was a meeting place for Aboriginal people, you know, so it's a really important space, and I think it's perfect for our purposes. And so come along on Sunday and learn a bit more. But, you know, we were in the dark for a long time at Camp Sovereignty, but just recently, you know, what happened on last Sunday is put us on the spotlight, like people all around the world are you know, chiming in, offering their support now. So, you know, in a way, it's shed a light on us. So, yeah, so.
The only good thing to come of this.
Something good can come out of it, exactly, a positive that can come out of, you know, this racism and, you know. But, you know, Australia can only blame itself for allowing it to manifest, like, where's the education? You know, the government in this country, the judiciary, the media, they don't help the situation where they could. And that's where it needs to be tackled from as well.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're just about out of time. You got any last words? Aku?
Oh, the only thing I can say is by looking at this inquiry is that the whole thing's bloody corrupt. That's all. By looking at how they're operating and the fact that they can't get the key documents, even the people of the committee, and the fact that they're still rolling ahead with the demolition. They're sticking the crane up on the weekend on the corner of Elgin Street and Nicholson Street, and they'll keep on going and nothing will stop these people, which is very, very, very disappointing and very sad.
Yeah, and concerning for
and
There's no, you know, it's something about having security of tenure that it just, you know, you can't really develop without that. So, and we need to have that.
Definitely. I'd also say, and as we continue with this show weekly, let's keep an eye on what happens when the parliamentary inquiry release their report. The government's supposed to write a report in response, but we'll see if they even do that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, thanks, Dharmit and Aku, and we'll talk to you again next week on Bundles Fire.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. To listen to a full audio of Bundles Fire radio show, a historically informed critical analysis of Aboriginal affairs and the ongoing political movement for land rights, treaty, sovereignty and the cessation of genocide, go to 3cr.org.au/Bundles Fire. If you want to support independent black media on 3CR, please go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.